Good evening. I would like to call the Budget Committee meeting for the City of Junction City on Thursday, May 4th, 2023. Call to order at 6:30 PM. Are there any conflicts of interest by any of the members of the committee?
I have a potential conflict of interest.
Okay, Councilor Seneca?
My brother-in-law works for Public Works.
And is that an actual or potential?
Potential.
Okay, so a potential conflict. Thank you. Are there any other committee members that might have a conflict? Okay, with that, let's go to item number two. The approval of minutes of the meeting we held on April 27th.
I make a motion to approve the April 27th, 2023 minutes.
Second that.
Okay, the motion has been made by James Hukil, seconded by Councilor Thomas. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Any public comment on the budget this evening? Seeing none either in person here or online, let's move to follow-up. Is there any follow-up from our previous meeting?
Not for me.
Okay. So tonight, we're here to review and discuss the budgets for the Public Works Department. So at that point, we will welcome back Gary Capping. Good to see him, and turn the meeting over to you, sir.
Thank you. So for those of you that haven't been on Budget Committee, I'm going to continue to do this the same way I've always done it, which is just talk about changes and major changes. I won't talk about a $500 change here or there. So that being said, we can start on page 99 in the Building Department. And starting there, what you're going to see is quite a bit of increases in resources. Line 4, 5, 9, 10, and 11, I bumped quite a bit based on what we've done this year and based on the housing market that continues to thrive out here for some crazy reason. It's still booming. I still didn't get too crazy. I tried to stay fairly conservative on those, but realistic about what's going on in town so that, you know, we're not underestimating or overestimating resources. The next change that you're going to see is line 20, and that's a decrease in wages. We had our last building official left. His last day was last Tuesday? Wednesday. Wednesday. And we have a new building official, Jason Johannesson. So he started a little bit less than what Russ was making when he left.
Gary?
Yes.
I want to go back to some of those lines on the top because
sure.
I looked at year to date and we're at 140%.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you did increase some of those,
mm-hmm.
but it was amazing how, you know, how we're right now in some of these departments, we've completely blown away this year's budget and we're still being fairly, I would say, not even reaching, not projecting those numbers. So I guess I don't want to be too optimistic, but.
Right. Yeah, and so building and planning, you all know, is very kind of tricky because all it takes is for halfway through the year, the market to crash, and then all these numbers get changed, right? Because we're not gonna make those permits happen. So I try to be realistic, but conservative to try and get there, so. Could I bump those a little bit more? Probably. Do I need to make the budget balance? No, I don't. I mean, it balances the way we have it right now. So, did that help? Do you want more clarification about why I do what I do?
Well, I just want to bring that point out.
Yeah.
Because I did go back and look at all where we were year to date through March. And I know it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, it is.
But we also could have another, we could be even better at this time next year than we are now, than we are this year.
Yeah, and that'll just carry over to next year's budget, and we'll save that for those years that we're down instead of up, and that way we can keep our building official on and keep him paid. And, you know, that's the thing with building. I think what we have to do is make sure that we have that reserve in those bad years to keep our building official here, keep him paid. And then that next year, hopefully it swings back up and we make more money again. So it's tough. It's a crazy world. That and planning both, they're just really hard to predict. So we try to be as optimistic as we can, but as on the other hand, conservative to make sure we're not messing ourselves over for the next year. So,
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Gary, may I ask a question?
Sure.
This is, hopefully it's in your area, you're going to be involved in. How much buildable land do we have that hadn't been built on?
That hasn't been built on or hasn't been already through the process of being accepted to be
there's
built
no
on?
No permits issue.
There's still 200 plus lots at Rolling Meadows.
Right.
There's about 250 lots of the reserve phase 3-4 that could be potentially built. There's two big lots off of Oaklea where the Monroe House used to be, the yellow one.
Yeah.
That's all buildable. And then after that, it's little parcels here or there.
Right.
There's not big acreage after that.
Well, the land north of Oaklea, that's still...
That's owned by the school.
Right, mm-hmm. But that's still R2, R3?
I'd have to look.
I think it's
R3.
They could build apartments there.
Yeah, the problem with that piece of ground is the only one that could actually build there successfully would be the school.
Mm-hmm.
Because drainage is so hard on that lot that it's going to be really tough for anybody else to build there. We've had a couple developers look at it, and when they start the storm calculations, they just can't get there.
Yeah. Have to set up retention, stuff like that.
Yeah, but even that, you got to be able to get rid of the same amount of water that would run off the property, right? And so the only way to do that is to get it all the way down to the church, into that ditch, which makes it really tough because you don't have the fall to get there. So the only way you're going to get there is to pump it, and nobody wants to build a pump station for storm.
Yeah.
So they don't want to put $1 million into a pump station just to pump storm water off. So everybody's kind of shied away from that piece.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. So there's just a couple other little changes in building, and most of those are due to increased wages, like line 30 administrative charges and line 50 public works administrative charges. Those are just little increases because of wages. The only other thing that's even potentially something to talk about is we reallocated office equipment leases, so that went up about $400. That's it. Those are the major changes for building.
Gary, one quick question.
Sure.
Do you feel like you have enough as far as personnel? Do you have enough people staffed to keep up with the high demand that you're seeing right now?
In the building department?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's staying on top of it. Russ did a really good job of it. So the one thing that I've done with Russ too is we've kept him kind of on retainer as an hourly employee in case we need him to do a plan review real quick, in case Jason's kind of backed up, but
that's great.
The chance of using him's very few, but he's there
just
if we need to.
Okay.
So, and we also have a partnership with Lane County, so if we need to, you know, if we need to help with inspections, if Jason's gone, we swap labor, we don't pay each other.
Oh.
So if they've got something out here, instead of sending one of their guys all the way out here to do it, Jason will just do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Jason's gone, they'll do the same thing for us. So.
Perfect.
All right. So there's no changes at all on the building capital. The only thing that shows is the transfer from building for later on purchase another vehicle for them. Any other questions about building? That being said, we can go into parks, which is on page 161. And this one also, there's very few changes in. Parks is, I mean, it's kind of that tight budget. We get so much of that in the bucket, so everything stays pretty much the same every year. You will see an increase on line 13 because we reallocated the Parks and Open Spaces supervisor's wage back into Parks and Streets where it should be, instead of dipping a little bit out of water and sewer, which is where he got paid before. Then again, did you have a question?
Please. With phase two, 107 homes going up presently, and supposed to be city code of one park for over 100 homes, where is the park going to be for phase two?
That's a good question. I'd have to look at that and see. I'd have to talk to Terry about that. I think that it's not one park for every 100 homes. It's so many acres of park, and that 11 acres that we have up front covers a lot of that.
How much is usable for park in that
11 acres? In that 11 acres?
Yes.
It's a little bit difficult to say exactly. What we've done is we've talked to the tribe that was out there. They're very aware of what we're doing. Their whole deal is if we put a shovel in the ground, they have to be on site. So it's all kind of developable, just how much of that do we really want to disturb? So we're currently putting a walking path out there now that's 1/3 of a mile, so people know exactly how far they're walking. And then I think it's still being talked about going back to a parks master plan to see what they want to do with the rest of that. So
with phase 3 through 6, 374 homes, that's another 3 or 4 parks?
It not necessarily. I mean, that 11 acres still covers quite a bit, but they may be required based on that number to do one park out there. There's 2 parks going in Rolling Meadows.
Yep.
Eventually, there's a half a park built right now, kind of. Not really, so, you know, I'd have to really sit down and talk with Terry about those numbers and what's required per, it's not really based on number of homes, it's based on acreage, so.
So the 11 and a half acres, mm-hmm. Is there anything in the budget to be building any park facilities now?
We'll get there. We don't have anything planned, but there's money there.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a little bit of an administrative charge that went up in 23, and the only other change to the budget is line 29 for fuel. We almost doubled that based on what we've done for fuel this last year.
How about fertilizer and treatment? It says you kept it the same.
Yeah.
That's going to work? That's going to be enough?
Yeah. So what we do is Shaman buys it by the pallet, so we get a break on that. And so we just put it on our shelf until we need it. And
okay.
So he's still got some left from this year. We'll add to that.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
Yep. Line 46 went up 5 times, so it's 500 to 2,500. So something coming up on software?
Software is a number I get from Mike, so if Mike can answer that question, that'd be great.
That's really reorganizing software, internet, email. So I pulled some amount, and I'm looking for it here, but I pulled some costs like on line 31. You don't see it in the budget, but in the actual year-to-date numbers this year, there was stuff going there that really is software. Like, I think we have a license for Microsoft Office and some of those kind of things that I tried to get in the right line that actually, you know, the description actually made sense for it. So that's really what the increase there is. I believe there is some increase from year to year, but.
Yeah, a little bit since I teased my side. So what we're looking at in there, what we've got to keep in mind is we reorganized the labor for parks and space, open spaces, where before really didn't have anything because mostly it was part-time folks. So when we went to having 3 full-time employees, that was in Parks and Open Spaces, that it created three separate licenses for all of their, like, internet and email, for their phones, for their email stuff that didn't exist before. And you figure something like that per person, that's, we're sitting at about $400 a year per person. So there's $1,200. It wasn't allocated here before, it was in other places. So just getting that cleaned up, their Tyler is being more corrected, reflected in this particular line. There's maintenance software that wasn't in this line when it should have been. So there's just a lot of those little pieces that, as Mike and Jacob, our IT guy, work through this stuff and trying to get things back where they need to be, that's where you see that increase, that $2,000 increase in this particular line.
Okay, thank you.
You may see changes like that
throughout.
You'll see it, yeah, you'll see it all the way
throughout
my budget.
Most of the operating funds.
But all the email and stuff like that is all lumped under internet before. And it really didn't need to be. Should be other places.
Jason?
Yes, sir.
Question probably for you. It's in Gary's area. The 10 acres that we have that belongs to the city, that's outside of the city, how much money is it going to cost us to bring that into the city and then start using that land? Would we have a figure somewhere in here as proposed? If we did it this year, we'd have to have money to
do it. To bring it in isn't necessarily that expensive. It would be several hundred dollars for the advertising in the public notice process we have to go through. So it wouldn't be horrible there. Depends what you mean by using it. So I can't really answer that because I'm not sure what you mean by start using it as a...
It was given to us to be used as a park.
Yeah.
And we all know that we have two pocket parks over there in that area that's given those folks a park.
Yep. And the city still has not addressed the long-term issue to make it usable is access to it, public access. Because it would require a different easement than what we have currently for a vehicular access, and it would require putting in a pedestrian footbridge to get pedestrian access to it. To do that, we have to go through the Corps because that Corps, that waterway, since it was moved, is under the Corps jurisdiction.
It is.
Almost
every ditch in town, you have to go through the Corps before you can do anything in them.
So there isn't money set aside to do anything like that with that park because those base issues haven't been addressed yet. It's intended as part of looking at doing a scope for a parks master plan update to specifically tackle that 10-acre parcel and the 12 acre on the north end to look at what the plan is and get something that's realistic for everybody that suits what's needed. So we're hoping in this next year to come up with those numbers that what it needs to be. But in the interim, we're looking at bringing that property in this upcoming year to get that first step done. Because that's also where the
water treatment plant,
that new well is going in, is out on that 10 acres as well.
It is?
Yep.
Okay.
So that'll be that first step.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's a good update.
Okay, so you want to go to Parks Capital, page 163. Line 64 is the CP, which is our projects, which are listed on page 155 in front of this. Same thing every year. I just go through and we list out all the projects that we've got, add that money up, and that's what goes into the CP for that. The line underneath that, line 65, you'll see that increase from 40,000 to 70,000. That's to pick up some of the deferred maintenance at Dutchfield. So that building needs some love. So that money was set aside for that.
What building is that again?
The field house.
The field house at Dutchfield.
Okay.
The siding is, paint's holding it together at this point.
Yeah. It needs a little love.
I'd say it that way.
Let these paint, right?
On both sides.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I hope not lead based paint.
Sorry, didn't register what you said.
It's not.
Took me pretty painted.
I was going to say that was pretty recent.
You said it was holding it together. You had to have something to hold it together.
Yeah. We put enough of it on there after a while.
Yeah, it's just that. It's got quite a bit of drag out at the bottom. It's got a couple bird holes that they can get into the walls. You know, things that we need to tighten up. So. Any other question on capital?
Where is the funds to build a new park.
Jump to the next page, 164. The Park System Development Fund, line eight. We budgeted an additional $400,000 to finish up the park at the reserve and then have some money sitting there in case another park pops up and there's something there to do. I don't foresee that happening in this next year. Maybe the year after that if they go through the park master plan, but
I never know.
You know, I'd rather have money sitting there than not. So that is the only real change in that, and it just dropped $100,000. So it's amazing how expensive parks are.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That's not much of a park over there, and it's cost us quite a bit of money. So,
Gary, quick question. Between the reserve and Rolling Meadows, is there already, outside of the 11 acres that you were talking about that has been made into a park or is continuing to be made into a park, is there other locations that the city already has within that, or would it have to be where you have to buy lots?
No, there's two parks dedicated in Rolling Meadows already.
Oh, okay.
On their plans, and we're making them develop them.
Oh, wonderful.
So, yeah, they're basing it off of stuff that we want, but they're mm-hmm. developing the park so we don't have to go in after the fact and build a park.
Okay.
Which is kind of where I'd like to get with anything that's going that way. Having a developed park, coming up with a plan with what we would all like to see in that park, then it's easy for us to say, here's our park's plan, mm-hmm. you guys build that, and then turn it over to the city.
Yeah.
We don't like private parks necessarily. There's a couple of builders that wanted to do a private park. They're tough. It's like, who's going to take care of them? Are you going to be in that spot where now all the homeowners go, oh, you can't be in this park because you don't live here? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a mess, so we don't.
Yeah.
We try to avoid them.
And no matter what, the city gets blamed for whatever happens or doesn't happen there.
Right.
Point.
So. Right.
Well, how do you keep people out of a park?
You don't.
Grief.
You don't. But then what you have is citizens fighting, right? Because if my grandkids at a park and you come and tell my grandkid they ain't going to be there, you're probably going to be dealing with me at that point, right?
Yeah, that one
today. So, but yeah, that's the scheme. There is two park planned for Rolling Meadows if, you know, if I don't build out.
Okay.
So.
Perfect.
You know, some of that equipment is seems like it's already in there, benches and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's about half of that. That first park for Rolling Meadows ended up in two phases. Half of it's in one phase and half of it's in the next, so they've stopped at that line right there. So. All right, moving forward, let's go to 175 and talk about water. All right, so you'll see a little bit of an increase in wages again, line nine. And then again, through all my funds, you'll see those administrative and public works administrative charges go up just a little bit. Line 22, fuel, of course, went up quite a bit. Line 38 went down quite a bit, and that's because we no longer pay that merchant fee for people that are paying the bill. That the company takes care of that now. So we reduced that quite a bit. There's a $261,000 transfer to the capital fund on line 48. Those would be the major changes.
How much we're going to expand the water treatment plant this year?
We're looking at trying to build a whole new one over there.
On that 10 acres?
Not expanding the current one we have, but developing the well that's over there and building another package plant. Oh, so we have a mirrored package plant. So this one goes down, we've got that one. If that one goes down, we've got this one. It's just a way to make sure that we're always got some kind of water in.
You'd hook that into the system so we'd have the south tower still in the system, right?
Yeah. We tie that into the main line on Bailey. So which again would cause us to have to change the easement we have, because we have an access easement, we don't have a utility easement, so I'm gonna have to work with the property owner on the utility easement.
Thank you, Madill.
Yeah.
With all the new construction, do we need more storage, water storage facility?
Eventually, not currently, but eventually, yes.
So, kind of, what do you mean eventually, when?
So, again, it's like crystal ball, right?
The issue for us isn't about storage, it's about production capacity. And our summer issue, you cannot build enough storage to make a dent in the summer, quite frankly, we use too much. So, you know, when we're, what, 1.5 million, 2 million?
During the summer?
During the summer?
Yeah.
Gallons a day, you know, you figure the that's basically the equivalent of that concrete tank down there. You know, and that's one day. So we really can't build enough to store more than a day or two in the summer. So that's why Gary and his crew are focusing on increasing the production capacity so we can keep them full longer. Eventually what happens is when the city reaches a certain population, and this is more driven by the fire department, there are codes that come in place for insurance requirements for the city to have a certain amount of storage on the ground per whatever their fire department units are. We're not there yet. At some point we will, but fire department's one lets us know when those codes change and when we would have to look at that. We do have another 1.5, 2 million gallon storage tank that's about 10, 12 years out in the water master plan that from before, from the last time it was updated, it's about 12 years out. So no later than 12 years would be the safe answer.
And I won't be here.
Just so you know.
But we got how many proven wells we're not using for production?
We're using all the wells.
All the wells? And the test wells we did this past year?
That's what we're working on right now.
Developing right now.
Okay.
But so two test wells.
Did we do a test well on the 10 acres?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's why we actually picked that site. It had a better yielding well than the north test site we did.
We already own the water rights, right?
We are transferring.
Okay. We own enough water rights that I can transfer water rights around.
It's the same aquifer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. So the other thing that we're working on, and we haven't got there yet, there's a grant that was brought to our attention for helping with, how do I say it, problems in your water system, so to speak. So like, we've lost production in some of our wells. So there's about $1 million grant out there. If we can get that, that will work towards helping fix those problems. So. We've got a couple irons in the fire. Yeah.
And one of those fixes is adding a new well.
Yes.
That's considered a fix. So we're looking for kind of that. We know we have funding for the first one. We're looking for that funding for that next one, that second well, to bring it online.
Anita doesn't have another system that wants to sell us, huh?
No, sir. We asked. They feel they had to do the one they have.
All right.
This project here, this past summer, told us how close we came to having a problem. When people start saying, I can't water my lawn.
Yeah, you when you lose one of your most productive wells, it hurts you.
Yeah.
And so we have got some work going on 11th and Elm. I was hoping to have done already, but they're supposed to be out this month to kind of scope that well and see if they can see any potential problems. And then we can get it back online for the summer and then come back in the fall and fix the problem if there's one there. So, all right, so you want to go to water capital. So in my water capital fund, it's broke up into several different funds. So you'll see that $261,000 transfer kind of divided up in those, where you'll see a transfer in each one. So like line 5, there's $62,000 of that transfer is in this first section. And then line 17, I put $50,000 there in reserve for the next rate study whenever the council decides they want to go after that. That way there's money setting there for that. We're not having to try to find money for it later on. Line 19 is that $1.3 million that we got for that water treatment plant. And so that's sitting there ready to be spent on that water treatment plant. And then line 24 actually went down because we paid off one of the loans to, I think it was sewer, wasn't it sewer? Was borrowed the money from sewer? At $232,000. So instead of having to pay them back $90,000 now, I only have to pay them back $67,000. So that helped a little bit. And then if you go to the next section, line 36, you'll see part of that transfer there. And then line 41 is just typical CEP funds that we need to either do maintenance on or replace parts or whatever we have listed in the front half. And then on line 55, you'll see the rest of that transfer, which total out the 261. And then on line 60, you'll see I increased that by $60,000 because we've got a lot of the original MXUs and meters that were put in that are failing. So we want to go back and fix all those so we're accurate with our billing. And Tyler and Tiffany have done a really good job of trying to pick those off as they break. But when they're all put in at the same time, we have a lot break at the same time. So now we got to go fix. So we're going to work on getting that done. And then we're going to work on, after that, breaking those up. So we're doing a section of town the same way we do sewer type stuff. So we'll kind of start budgeting money so that we can take the town and divide it up into five or six sections and go in and replace all those MXUs and meters. Then the next year we do the same thing. So that every 5 to 7 years you're replacing all your meters. Meters have a 10 to 20 year life expectancy where they're completely accurate. The MXUs that we buy now are 20, the meters we buy now are 20, but we're finding the meters aren't quite as good as the ones we used to buy. Because everything is now plastic.
Yep.
So we'd like to get on that schedule where we're actually going through and replacing those on a scheduled basis instead of waiting for them to break.
Mm-hmm. So. I'm going to sort of go through your notes there on the water treatment, 11th and L.
Mm-hmm.
Those are interfund run to the went from the what do you call it?
RLF.
RLF.
Mm-hmm.
We pay us good interest on that ourselves or not?
We don't pay ourselves interest.
Yeah.
That's why I borrow money from ourselves instead of the bank. It's Carrie's gonna charge
me
interest.
I tried.
And then you see how I bumped line 61 because of the new housing that's coming in, so we have to budget a little bit more money for meters. And that's a money in, money out thing. So if we don't sell $33,000 worth of meters, we don't pay $33,000 for meters.
So that comes in on line 54?
Yeah. So yeah, if you look at line 54, the tap fees, you'll see that same amount. So it's just money in, money out. And then water system development on the next page, 179. Line 7, you'll see the same placeholder that I put there every year. We don't have anything specifically planned for that, but if we don't have any money sitting there that can be used, we can't use it. So I just put it there as a placeholder.
Gary, under the water capital projects fund, is the main focus to increase output of water or is it to improve water in Junction City?
Yes.
Both of them?
Yes.
Because it feels like, when people are asking these questions, they know so much more, like there's a test well somewhere on 10 acres. Those aren't things that I would know, just mm-hmm. in general. But I know that I hear so many times about the water quality in Junction City. Mm-hmm. But I know that we're growing, so I just don't know what our main focus is. Is it improving or?
Both. So there's money set aside. That's why that fund's so separated.
Okay.
So some of that money is for production and some of it's for improvement.
Okay.
So the answer is yes, both.
Both of them, we're focusing on both of those.
And we still have a bunch of water monitoring stations that we did 3 years ago? that we have data from the day they were put in until now, so we know exactly what the water quality's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tiffany runs several tests a month by hand, just to make sure everything's accurate, so.
Gotcha. I know, because I've lived here long enough, like, I understand the flushing system mm-hmm. and how to do that, but I know a lot of people don't, or it causes them concern when they fill up bathtubs with brown water and they're not sure what is going on. So I think that's, it seems like, I'm glad to know that we're putting funds towards mm-hmm. focusing to make sure that we can hopefully improve that.
Yeah. But we have got, really, since we started 3 years ago working on that improvement process, every year we have less and less complaints about the water.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is working, it's just going to take time. It took a long time to break. It's going to take me a while to fix.
Right.
So, but we are working on it every year. So.
That's great.
And you'll see that, I mean, there's a on line 17, that master plan project,
mm-hmm.
that's to just replace pipe, which is where most of this problem comes from.
I remember you telling me that in the past, yeah.
So, which is something we started after that rate study, because that was part of the biggest concern was water quality. So we wanted to make sure we're putting as much money towards that every year that we could at least pick off one or two water lines. So.
Got it. Thank you.
Yep, no problem. Next section would be sewer. That's on 191. That one again on line 11, you'll see a little increase in wages just because of cost of living increases and stuff that we have to pay out. Line 25, fuel. Ooh, I bumped it $9,000. Again, line 38, the merchant fees went down. And then the other bigger change would be line 41, which is travel and training. And if everybody remembers, I kind of do that on every other year cycle, right? So all our licenses expire every 2 years. So every 2 years, we have to have so many CEUs to renew our license. So what I try and do is stack all that training into 1 year so that we're not really kind of getting away from knowing what we've got done and what we haven't got done. Because the only person that keeps track of that is Tiffany, right? Yeah. And it makes it really hard on her if this guy's taking this class and this guy's taking this class and this guy's taking this class.
Mm-hmm.
But if I put everybody in the same class, we know exactly what we got. So that's what we try to do. So last year we did that. So this year we're kind of in that down year where we'll still have some travel and training, but it won't be as much. So.
Question?
Sure.
Line 42.
Yeah.
Treatment
chemicals? Oh yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
By every other year?
No, that is the increase that we've suffered over the last year.
Not awful.
They have raised treatment chemical prices 5 times on me in the last year.
Well, 2 years ago it was 107, and you went down. Now you're back up to 107,
mm-hmm.
170.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of that weird thing where they drop their price. And then they shot it back up drastically over five increases over this last year. So, we did, we're actually, I budgeted the same amount for treatment chemicals in water as I did last year, but I think we're gonna see a reduction in that based on what we've done with the way we're pacing that now. Sorry, I didn't mean to go backwards to water, but the way we used to operate the system is what we kind of watch what's out in the system for chlorine level, and we'd adjust that accordingly. And the reason we had to do that is because when this well was running, it's a different chlorine rate than now when this well fires up. So if we're running this well and this one fires up in the middle of the night, and we don't have that to adjust, right? So now we're jacking it up, lowering it down. We had our integrator of record TAG come in and do a flow paced base on that. So now anytime that well comes on, it looks at that parameter and says, I've got to be between these two parameters.
And so when that second well comes on and that drops, it looks at it and says, oh, I need to increase the chlorine. So it increases it slowly until it gets back to that level. So we're actually seeing that.
And it does the opposite.
Right, and they don't do the opposite, it drops it down. But we're seeing that we're using far less chlorine with doing that, so. It's actually worked out really well. Okay, anything on the operating fund there? We'll go to the capital fund on 193. And so we've set a little bit more money aside for on line 14 for system improvements, just because we don't know exactly what's gonna happen with the sewer plant upgrade at this point. I would love to be able to tell you we do, but we don't. We've got a meeting about it tomorrow. Maybe we'll have better information. I'm not gonna hold my breath, but hey, that's me. Line 16, that equipment acquisition. For several years, we've set aside $600,000 for a back truck. We're gonna budget that money because it's time to start looking to replace that truck. Not saying we've got one picked out. I just need to have the money there in case we find one that we can purchase, so.
And that's for what truck?
The back truck.
Oh, okay.
So it's a sewer cleaning and it's got a vacuum on it. We do most of our water leaks now, we do but hydro excavation, so we don't have to call in for locates. So it's a much safer way for our guys to do water line repairs, sewer line repairs without having to get the excavator out there and dig up a lot of ground. We can keep that footprint pretty small. Sometimes, sewer lines blow up in the middle of the intersection. We don't have that choice, but, we try and keep them small. So, and then for the master plan project, line 17, I was able to increase that a little bit this year. And mainly, will we get more work done in there? No, but the prices have went up so much, we can probably still do the same amount of work. So that's why that increased a bit. And then on line 32, you'll see where that $67,000 from water came back into this fund. I think that's the major changes for that one.
Question?
Mm-hmm.
In phase two of the reserve,
mm-hmm.
several streets were dug up to change the size of the sewer pipe?
The grade.
Who had to pay for that?
They did. Yeah. They laid it wrong. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it wasn't the size. It's just that they didn't meet our minimum grade.
Okay.
One of the things I've changed to help prevent what happened over there, which was people were moving in before they were finished. Well, mm-hmm. before they knew they had to dig it all back up. One of the things that have changed is I'm requiring now that they have to have their as-bills turned into me before we'll issue one CFO over there. So nobody will be able to move in. So what's happened lately is engineers are busy or something. And so we're not getting as-bills when the project's done. We're getting them 6 months, 8 months, 9 months down the road, right? So by the time we got those as-bills, we looked at the very first page and we went, oh, that's not right. They don't meet our spec. So then it was go back, fight with the contractor and the developer and make them redo all that work, which they weren't super happy about. But so in order to prevent that, I've made that change in the public works standards where now you've got to get your as-bills to me before I can let you move into a house there. So
what's CMO?
Certificate of Occupancy.
Oh, okay.
So,
we don't inspect that prior to, I know we weren't able to do that going south with the prison.
We don't. We have, our inspector comes down every once in a while. Their engineer is supposed to be on site to check that at all times.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Yeah. It doesn't take much. I can tell you, doing this for a long time, if your guy walks by and bumps your level or bumps your dot, you're off. And if you don't catch it, you're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
It really messes up your job. So, it can be as much as getting too close to that light, that laser with a piece of equipment and shaking that just enough where it bounces just slightly, Because when you're shooting out 100 feet with that dot, that much of a movement makes that much of a movement. It's a lot, so.
But we haven't had any 14-foot deviations from where it's supposed to be, like we did going south on the shoreline.
No. No, but the stuff that they had to do over there was not easy because it was mostly deep. So it made a big mess for the people that were living there. So 195, System Development Fund. Line 7, I increased from $1 million to $3 million, and we will end up starting to spend that money. That is for that sewer plant upgrade. So with this meeting tomorrow, we're hoping we have our plan set in place so that we know exactly when things have to be done. And so as those things are starting to be done, like, we know the pre-design is going to get done. So we know we need to have money sitting there to start paying for that. So, did I overkill it? I don't know. I don't think so. I think we're going to be rapidly spending money out of that fund here for the next 4 or 5 years. So.
Could you give a little more background on where we stand on the NAO and things like that?
That's what we're talking about tomorrow. I would love to be able to tell you. I think it was January. DEQ reached out and said, we need to get this done. We need to get this done right now. Okay, great. We're ready. I didn't hear from them till April. Right? So April comes along and they said, hey, we sent out this plan. You guys didn't balk at it. You guys have 5 years to get it done. And we're like, wait. The only thing you sent out says example on the top. So hence, we're having another meeting tomorrow to try and get this hashed out. So
we've been at this, what, 1997?
I've been here 26 years.
Yeah,
I've been hearing about this. 26 years. So yeah, 97 I've been working on.
We had a long meeting in 2011 down in your old building. Mm-hmm. And they said it's going to be fixed here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Their definition of pretty soon is not pretty soon.
You forgot the ish part, soon-ish. Right.
Yeah.
Plus or minus 15 years.
Yeah.
Because building the plant 10 years ago would have been half what we'd have to pay for it today, at least.
Yeah. Probably. We'd probably be into that phase right now where we're actually looking at, okay, what's the next step?
Right.
How do we get to the next step? So, yeah, at that 10-year mark, you're probably looking at upgrading again anyway. So, depending on population increase and all those things. So. All right, so let's go to sanitation. Sanitation is a fund that we actually need to spend a little bit of time talking about. So if you look at the very top line, beginning fund balance, and revenue and all that, you'll see that sanitation over the last few years has been in a slow decline, right?
Yeah.
It's just kind of been tapering off. And part of that is, you know, when we did the rate increase, it was a one-time 2%. It didn't carry out like water and sewer, so we're not increasing that revenue at all. But there's some other things that could be causing that, right? So I sat down with Jason yesterday and we kind of looked at this fund because if you look at your sheet, it's not balanced, right? I'm not 491 coming in and I'm not 491 going out. I'm 329, right? So we looked at the collection revenue, we kind of looked at where we are this year, and we kind of looked at what's being built, and we predicted that we could probably justify a 4% increase in that. So what I'd like to do is make a change from that 1,200,500.
Line 3.
And jump that to 1,261,500. And then one other change to make it balance would be line 45. Instead of transferring $73,500, we're gonna just transfer $3,500. And that will make that fund balance.
Mm-hmm.
So
is that sustainable? No.
You said 3,500?
Yes.
Yeah.
So quick question, how do you make the change on line three? How does it?
So your actuals are going to come in higher than what we're anticipating. And then based on that, you do your 4% instead of 3%, which is what we typically do.
Okay.
That's how you get there.
So basically what I asked Mike is, where are we right now today?
Yeah.
So he gave me that number. Jason and I kind of worked that backwards, say, okay, this is where we think we're going to end. And then we're going to multiply that by 1.04 to get that 4% increase. Typically I do 3%. In order to make this fund balance, we went 4%. But because there's so many things that are causing this problem with this, like tipping fees, if you look at line 38, my tipping fees went up drastically.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My fuel went up drastically, mm-hmm. and my maintenance on my trucks went up drastically, right? So how do we fix this problem? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, what I would like to do or propose to do would be say, okay, this will get us through this year, right? But I think what we should do is hire another company like SES or somebody like that to do an operational evaluation to see how do we get flatlined? And then eventually, how do we start climbing back up again, right? Because I don't have the answer. I mean, and Jason doesn't have the answer. And we've looked at it, and it's like, you know, if we continue to run the trucks that we're running, we continue to have maintenance things, and the maintenance costs go up, and tipping fees go up, and fuel is crazy right now. Hopefully it goes down someday. My crystal ball is black. Right? I just, mm-hmm. I don't want to sit here and tell you I have the answer, because I don't. Mm-hmm. I think having an outside company come in and look at it is the best way to find out how to fix it, if it's fixable, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's fixable. I think we can get there. I don't know.
Yeah, the problem with sanitation is there's so many pieces, and we're one of, two cities anymore?
Two.
We're one of the last ones still doing sanitation ourselves. So it's not like we can go and plagiarize from another community, right, seeing what they're doing. And there are just way too many things. You know, do you look at adjusting your trucks? Do you look at, you know, do you go back to Lane County instead of Crawford View for the solid waste, for the tipping and disposal, because that impacts your fuel and the wear and tear on your trucks? Do you put in a transfer station so you're not running your trucks as much? You know, do you look at doing drop boxes, which is like the 10, 20, 30, 40 yards, the big boxes where we know there's more revenue? I mean, there is no silver bullet, but there's just a ton of different things. And Gary and I both feel comfortable taking this next year to get all those different pieces mapped out, looked at by someone who knows what they're looking at, and bringing that information before the council so an informed decision can be made. I think that's the brilliant message, is we're okay for now, but we want to take a year to get the data together.
Yeah, I would like somebody else to come in and do an operational evaluation of what would it take to get there, you know, and we may like the answer, we may not. I don't know. All I can do is get the answer and give you guys the correct information, right?
Yeah.
And that's my goal. That's my job. So you guys have to make the decision what you do after that. I just want to get it to you. So.
Would SDS or whoever SDS. You bring in have the option of going commercial? In other words, dropping that load on the company, on the city. And, you know, because we already have people operating in city limits, but it's not in the city where they're picking up.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the parts that they'd have to evaluate. You know, can somebody else come in and do it cheaper than us or better than us? And I want to say no, they can't, but I don't know that for sure.
Yeah.
I just want to tell you they can't. So, but I don't want to be the one to do that study either, because then it's like, oh, well, he's the public work director. He's doing the study. He's going to weigh it the way he wants to weigh it. I would just soon step out, let somebody else do that, and let me do what I need to do during the year. You know,
yep.
Don't waste my time crunching all those numbers when there's a perfectly good firm out there that knows how to do it really well.
Yeah.
The only reason I mentioned SES is because they've got a lot of our data already, so it would probably be cheaper for them to do this than to have another company come in. I've kind of reached out to our attorney to see, can we just award that if you guys choose to go that route? Can we just award that to them since they've already done it and they're an engineering firm? And I think her answer is yes, but we haven't quite hashed that out yet.
So.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna ask real quick on the fuel, since it's like almost doubled. Is where they go now this same distance as going out to Lane County?
It's longer, but the tipping fee is less.
We save
$100,000 going to Coffin Butte.
Okay.
And they're Coffin Butte, are they getting ready to?
They're doing a big expansion out there.
Oh, they did? Okay.
They are. They're working on it now.
Okay. Because that was a big thing. They were going to close shop and blah, blah, blah. And
we can still go to Lane County, and we do during bad weather, but they charge us more. And if we were to go there all the time consistently, they'd want us to sign a contract with them, which would lock us in.
Yeah.
Right? Which is, we're like one of two cities that didn't sign a contract. So when they raised all their rates and said, you guys got to pay this, we went to Coffin Butte, and they weren't happy with us. So, but we got to look out what's best for our citizens, not
right.
Lane County necessarily.
Okay.
Right. You had a question?
Yeah.
So on page 196, it shows the sanitation department, mm-hmm. and it shows utility billing clerk.
Mm-hmm.
Is this position rolling up, or is the cost coming strictly out of sanitation?
No,
or is
it's
it
divided.
Oh, okay.
That's yeah, it's divided through water, sewer, sanitation.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Do we have money in the budget for that study?
Can I speak up on it? I just want to appreciate you bringing the problem to people's attention, because if we don't know that there's a problem, we can't fix it. And I think just you bringing it up probably gets more different ideas. I'm sure you guys have thought of many, but I just appreciate you bringing up the situation so we can know that it's there earlier rather than later. So thank you.
No problem. You'll find with me, I'm always trying to be ahead of the game than behind. So,
now, you mentioned the study. Is that in the budget?
There's some money set aside in capital that could be used for that, but I mean, we can talk to the committee or the council about how they want to fund that too. This will be a topic at the Public Works Committee probably in June about here's what we know so far. Where do you want to go? Because ultimately, like I said, it's your guys' decision where you want to take this, not mine. I can just give you the information and hope you see it my way.
That's right.
Mike, I wanted to mention you did have on page 200, you had the five-year plan, and it does show us that we're in trouble.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was how I noticed it, was I caught that. So I appreciate that information.
Yeah, no problem.
Gary, real quick, where is, what line is, like, what all the garbage cans and stuff come?
It's in the capital fund.
The capital fund?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You, like, the purchase of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the capital.
I remember one year it was, like, took quite a while to get
it's
all those.
It's been taking a while, yeah.
And is that still coming, like, from, was it Arizona?
No, we've switched companies. They're coming out of the Portland area now.
Oh, Portland. Was it Arizona or something last time? Okay.
So, unfortunately, that's the one fund that I didn't really want to have to talk about today, but
yeah.
I did. So, we can talk about the capital fund for that, which is kind of what you asked, Andrew. It's page 203. So, in this, you'll see on line 5, there's a new line item that says interfund loan from the general fund for $250,000 to replace truck. I will not borrow that money until we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're not going to go buy a truck.
Right.
If we don't know what we're doing.
That makes sense.
Find out later on this year that everything's golden and we can get there, then we'll start looking for a truck. But until that happens, we're not going to borrow money from the general fund and go buy a truck that
somebody else
I might
use.
Have to sell. So you'll see that same $250 or $250,000 on line 14. Money in, money out again.
Yeah.
What you were asking about, Andrea, is line 16. $40,000 set aside for containers, dumpsters,
And amazingly, we end up spending that almost every year.
That's something.
I mean, it's crazy. I don't know if people just eat garbage cans or what, they just...
Well, some of the first ones are getting to the end of their
life. And when it's cold outside, freezing, and we grab it wrong, we punch a hole right through it. Plastic's so brittle, and it's frozen there.
Wheels pop off.
So is the $40,000, is that, if you're like, yeah, we definitely use it, is that enough, especially with all the new housing coming in, everything that they're going to need to get set up for garbage?
Yeah, based on what we have on the ground and this, yes, should be fine.
Okay. So.
We have a little cushion up there, system improvements, if I need to, supplement that a little bit. Okay, let's go to something that's more fun to talk about.
Street, yep.
213. Okay, so line 11, you'll see that increased again because of that reallocation of the Parks and Open Spaces Supervisor position. And then line 25, fuel, seems to be the biggest topic of discussion. And then you'll see a bigger transfer into the capital fund from $60,000 to $100,000 on line 46. And the reason I want to put more money over there is so that we can continue to do more of those crack sealing, slurry sealing projects that we've been doing. Right? So we've got a couple set up for this year already, but I want to make sure that we're proactive on that. I mean, we own our own equipment, so if we get 2 weeks of nice weather and we're not doing something else, we can go crack seal, right? So... yes, sir.
Page 205, it says crack seal at least 6 blocks annually.
Mm-hmm.
So you're planning to do more?
That's my hopes and dreams, yeah. We already have 6 blocks that are out there scheduled to be done. But if the weather is there and we're not doing another project, whatever we're not doing there, I want to get back on crack sealing, right? I'd like to get ahead of these streets a little further than we are. So, not that we're doing a bad job, but we're still pretty green at it. So, this year will get better and better, and next year will get better and better, and we'll get faster and faster at it. This last time they were out crack sealing, they were probably half again as fast as they were the first time we were out. So. I want to have money sitting there so that we can go get that done if we have the time available. So.
I asked one question about the 10 miles of stormwater we maintain.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the water district? Any maintenance?
We do it.
We do it.
Yep.
Anything within the city?
Anything within the city limits is our responsibility to maintain, even though we don't own it. Joe City Water Control District.
Yeah, people that own the property can't build on it and fix it.
No.
The government put in the quality, right?
Yeah. You know how this works.
Yeah.
I've been around for a day or two.
Yeah. I didn't have white hair when I started.
Okay, so if you want to go to 215, the capital fund, you'll see on line 3 that transfer coming in. You'll see on line 6, the state 5,000 population, that's that ODOT fund that I use, right? And that, again, is a money in, money out. So if we take $150,000 out of that, that's what we spend. If we take $200,000 out of it, that's what we spend. And we spend that on a project. So last year, it paid for, the last year when they did Front Street? Year before?
I think so.
Last year it paid for Dale Street.
That's
what it paid.
That's right. Yep.
So, but I try and keep that money there as a bigger project. The one thing that they've done to me that kind of pisses me off a little bit is now I can't use that as a savings, so I can't build up. Like, when Jason left and I started working out of that fund, I had a little over $500,000 in there. They won't let me build that up now. They'll let you sit there for a little bit, but then if you don't use it, you lose it. It goes away.
Oh.
So we're gonna take a little smaller chunks, so we'll just have to do shorter blocks. That's all. So being able to save up for a long block, it'll be,
do this block and that block instead of five blocks.
So have you used money out of that fund to fix Rose Street?
No, not yet. That all came out of streets.
Okay. Okay, that went a capital fund.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a reoccurring pipe.
Well, we hope not. We keep putting new pipe in every time it does it.
Okay.
We're hoping with the sewer plant upgrade that we can do a pressure main upgrade too. I mean, we've already replaced the pressure main from Oaklea all the way to the ditch to the water treatment plant. That's done.
Water treatment plant.
Yeah, it's all in my head. So that section's done, and we want to make sure that section was done before they put that brand new road in, right? We don't want to go dig up brand new road. So that's done, and it's done all the way across Oaklea onto 10th Street. So ideally, what we'd like to do is pick that up on 10th Street and run it up 10th Street, then run it away from Laurel School onto a different street, and then cross over to the plant.
Not to my street. From the school.
I'm going to park it right in front of your house.
That's you to volunteer.
That would get it out of the ball fields. It gets it away from the school. Yeah. You know, maybe it was a great idea at the time. I don't think it was such a great idea. You don't want to put a pressure main to a school, but.
Well, it used to be an empty lot.
I was going to say, in all fairness, the main came in before the school
bought
the
property. Maybe. I don't know. Laurel's been there for a while, a couple of days.
Yeah.
So, but that's kind of in our long-term plan, is to move that whole pressure main up 10th Street and then cut over to, I think it's 13th, somewhere on one of those other streets. That's the plan.
So let's come down 13th, down Rose to town. Not the other way around, you said it the other way.
Yes, it comes that way, yes. Yeah. I'm just working it backwards, because it's already in.
The rest of us are going the other way.
So, if you look at line 14, you'll see that same $200,000 going out for that state fund. And then line 15, you'll see where I increased that by $100,000 to pick up more of that slurry seal, crack sealing stuff. That's pretty much it for that one. If you turn the page to system development.
Just a quick question for you back on streets. Was any of this covered, or does any of this cover any type of talk about adding sidewalks in on streets, or is that?
I've been working with Lane County. They've been trying for a grant for a couple years now. And both years we've been denied the grant, so I'm sure they're going to apply again for another grant. Can we use that money for sidewalks? Absolutely we could. I've worked really hard to try and have a sidewalk improvement program. It's on line 12 where we put $28,000 in.
Mm-hmm.
Usually what I try and do is pick off those things as safe routes to school. So there's a couple more like approaches on 6th Street that we need to do to, you know, because right now you're walking on sidewalk and then all of a sudden you're in the dirt.
Yeah, so, for sure.
I'd like to pick those off with that. I have constantly and will constantly work on our city attorney about using system development funds for sidewalks because that's an expansion of, in my opinion.
Right.
I haven't completely convinced her of that yet, but she hasn't completely told me no either. So I will continue to push that route because we've got quite a bit of money in system development funds and we can only use it for expansion.
I would just say my major concern is obviously all the houses going in and Oakley has no sidewalks at all. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing kids, like you said, that sixth where it starts and then mm-hmm. stops and then coming the other direction to either the high school or middle school. So it feels like that should be a focus is yeah. sidewalks on that. And I know Oakley is kind of different because
Oakley is a county road.
Right. So how do we get it on one side or not the other side?
So
or
anytime that, like when they build Rolling Meadows, this is from 10th Street to 4th Street, right?
Right.
When they build those houses there, we're going to require a sidewalk.
So we won't do anything on that side, but we can do something on the other side. Like where you said 4th Street, I think stops. It stops at 4th and then doesn't pick up again until 6th or it goes into the dirt.
Well, there's a sidewalk from 6th Street to about
the end of that new development there, and then there's a space between there and Fourth Street. I've tried to convince the county to let me put a sidewalk in there. They keep telling me no because they don't know what they're doing with Oakley yet.
Oh, okay. It just seems hard with all those houses going in that we're not making. But I guess they'll do it when they start building more houses.
Yeah, so there will be one on the west side of Oakley eventually. When those all the housing goes in there, we'll require a sidewalk to be put in there.
Okay. How about between 10th and 11th sidewalk?
10th and 11th where?
On Oakley.
10th and 11th.
Yeah, that's...
It'll also have one when that develops there. That property on the west side.
Yeah.
There's two lots right there.
Yes.
Their eventual plan for that, and I keep trying to talk them out of it, it's apartment complex. I keep trying to tell them to put a Dairy Mart there, but they're not listening to me very much. When they develop that, there'll be a sidewalk there that will tie into the other sidewalk that's down by...
So that everybody on that side stays to that Dairy Mart.
Right.
Yeah. There's supposed to be a commercial site in that area.
Commercial is apartments.
It is.
Splitting hairs now.
I'm not. They are. I would just soon see something else there.
The Dairy Mart on the ground floor.
Yeah.
Apartments above.
Yeah, that would be great.
Isn't there, Gary, something about like safe routes to school? Doesn't sidewalks fallen to the safe routes to school?
That's what I used that $28,000 for.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So are you told where you can use that, put those sidewalks in, or?
The $28,000 I can use. I'm trying to convince our attorney that there's money in, when we turn this page to system development, there's $2 million in that fund. I can only use it for expansion up. So my thought process is, a sidewalk is an expansion of public transportation, right?
Yep.
I haven't convinced her, but she hasn't told me no. So we'll just keep working on it. And hopefully I can convince her of that. And then when I can, then we'll budget more of that $2 million to go spend on sidewalks. So.
What about the sidewalks that's already in place but is in disrepair? How about the
property owner's responsibility?
How much enforcement are we doing?
I enforce when I get a complaint, or if we see something that's a very big danger, we can do it from the direction of the council. But if somebody complains, we always go out and inspect, and we enforce on that.
Okay.
And I can vouch for that.
Yeah. Somebody had to put a sidewalk in. Maybe the setting that side of it. So, any other questions on the capital side? If not, we can switch over to system development. You'll see that line 7, that $100,000, that is just a placeholder until I can convince our attorney that I'm right, so to speak. So,
do we have to have a lawyer's approval, or do we have to have a council approval?
No, we have to have her approval to say that that's truly an expansion of, because you can only use SDC monies for an expansion of. So if I was to use water SDC monies to replace the water line from my house, which is an 8-inch, and I want to take it to a 10-inch, I can only pay for 2 inches of that water line with that SDC money, because that's expansion of. Same thing with the street, right? So if we're going to widen the street, we can pay for the piece we're widening with SDCs, but not the rest of the street. That has to come out of street fund. It's only the expansion of that we can pay for.
But if you have a sidewalk and you're expanding off of that sidewalk.
I think that's true.
Yeah, gotcha.
I haven't convinced her of that yet. But I will keep trying. Mm-hmm. I keep trying to figure out all kinds of ways I can spend that money. But she's unfortunately, she knows the rules really well, so I got to just toe the line until I can convince her, so.
And slowly but surely, every year, wearing her down, so eventually you'll get there.
Sure. Maybe just before I retire, but we'll get there. Page 217 is the Bike Path Reserve Fund. I made no changes to it. I budgeted exactly the same as I did last year. And that is for expansion of maintenance of the bike paths that are around town. So we've slurry sealed one, we repaved one. I've got one I need to widen, but we're probably gonna end up having to do the work ourselves because it's gonna be a lot of handwork and it's gonna be super expensive, so. But we've got a couple over here that we need to slurry seal and just kind of maintain, make sure they don't go get too bad. There was not, like most of the streets, there just wasn't money there for a long time, so none of that stuff got done. So we're picking those off more and more every year, and we'll get caught up eventually. And then if you flip the page to the Prairie Road Street Improvement Fund, this is the fund that was put together because when Prairie Meadows went in, they didn't want to build a sidewalk to nowhere, so they made the developer put money aside into a fund. So if you look at line six, that $218,000, that's what was put into that fund originally. So I always leave that number in there so you guys can see how that fund's growing, right? So, you know, eventually will we put a sidewalk down Prairie Road for that? I don't know. I mean, it's tough with the ditch there, and yeah, it makes it really hard.
And a lot of properties are still in the county.
Yeah, a lot of them are still in the county. They're not all in the city. Right. So.
So tell me real quick, so the developer that did Prairie Meadows had to put money in for a sidewalk, but they didn't want the sidewalk to go in and not be going to anywhere?
Right.
So like how we have in other places where it just stops?
Well, the problem there is there's a ditch.
Yeah.
Right, there's a drainage ditch. So do you culvert that? And then, you know, there's just a lot of things you got to think about before you put a sidewalk in there.
But there's a partial sidewalk on the other side of it,
yeah,
that like kind of starts and stops. But it's still...
It's actually all there. It's just covered up.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes. So, but again, when those that was developed, that road was a county road, not a city road. Right.
Gotcha. So, those are out in the county, aren't they?
That's yeah, they're all
that, county. That sidewalk is, that's all county.
That's all county.
Yeah. On the other side?
Yeah,
other
on
side's
the
all
east
county.
Side's all county.
Yeah.
Yep. So we live in this funny little place where this section is county and this section is city, and then right in the middle of town there's a county section for some reason, mm-hmm, right? So like I get questions about Vine Street all the time. It's all county. We don't, none of it's city. So
how interesting.
Walnut on the south side of 10th the same way. It's all county.
Yep.
So it's kind of a, it makes it a little tough because, you know, I got a new building official now, so now I've got to train him on all mm-hmm what's county and city now. Cause
it's like a checkerboard.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Know it.
So, all right. So my last one, Public Works Administration, is on page 225. It starts on 224, but that's a combined fund. I'd rather go through the separated fund so you guys see exactly where that money's going instead of trying to explain the combined fund. So if you look at 225, about the middle of the page, it says Public Works Administration Fund. Line 87, there's a little increase in wage there. Line 115, there's an increase of fuel there. And then line 114 is where we've reallocated some of the office equipment leases to that fund. Instead of separating it out of my other funds, we just put it into the Public Works Administration. It made more sense. Those are the big changes for that fund. The next fund would be Public Works Administration Fund for Planning. And then on line 140, you'll see a decrease in wage. That's because, unfortunately, Terry Andrews is going to step down from planning in July. Dawn Northerly is going to take that up. She already currently works for us in the building department, so she's been working with Terry to transition, picking that piece up. So you'll see that decrease there. I bumped printing and advertising on line 168 just because we went way over budget this year. I don't think we'll have as much next year, but I didn't want to leave it at $1,000 either. So those are really the major changes to all my funds. I'm happy to talk about any of the funds, to back to any of the funds if you guys have any questions, but that's pretty much Public Works in a nutshell. Yes, sir.
Page 219 says what's new for fiscal year 2023 and 24. Department of Administrative Aid will take over the planning role. Isn't that what Terry does, President?
Terry Terry does, but she's stepping down in July.
Right. So Dawn, it's not new to have an aide. We already got an aide. That's Terry.
No.
Dawn. Terry was the planning technician.
Yes.
Dawn will be a permit technician because she's not the planner that Terry was. So we're going to be using LCOG more in that role than Terry.
So right now, Terry's an admin aide 4 and Dawn is an admin aide 2. So they're both admin aides.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And Terry's not going away, so she's here to help Dawn if Dawn needs some help. But Terry, I think, would like to start looking towards that retirement side and stop doing some of the things that she's doing, unfortunately. But Dawn's a really good employee and she's picking things up fast. I think she'll be fine. So.
What's an admin aide?
It's just a title for a position we have within the city.
Okay. Thanks for the idea.
So the utility billing clerk's also an admin.
Okay.
It's just the terminology.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're starting to slowly transition away from using admin aide. It's kind of overused within the city.
Admin aide. I thought you said admin 8. Okay.
AIDE, yeah. Okay. And we have a 1 through 4. So we technically have 4, but we have so many of them are like admin 8-3 assigned to planning, admin 8-2 assigned to utility billing. It's kind of off track at some point.
So Gary, I just want, I'm sure this is probably what it is, but on contract services on 155, that's got to be LCOG, correct?
Yes, correct.
And so you just left that as same as it is this year?
Yeah.
Even though we may be increasing our use without Terry?
Yeah, but we didn't spend what we spent.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, we didn't, because Terry's so good at it, we didn't use LCOG a ton. So I left it the same. My plan is, actually Terry had a meeting with them today. The plan is to have an LCOG out here one day a week and then see how that goes. I don't think we need them out here 2 days a week, but you know, if we do, we do. We'll figure that out as we go along, but the new gal that's going to be representing Junction is pretty savvy, so I think one day a week being out here to answer questions for people will be fine. If not, they can pose those questions to Dawn and Dawn can get those answers for them.
So. And when they're representative, presented to the councils, that was always a good presentation. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very good at what they do. And over this last year, they've got way more familiar with the way Junction City likes to do business. So, you know, they're not trying to turn us into Eugene in any aspect, which was very clear from the beginning. We're not Eugene. We don't want to be Eugene. We're Junction City, and that's who we want to be. So they don't go down that road with us, which is great. So,
Gary's good.
Who's that?
Gary Johnley, I think it's.
Yeah, Gary. Yeah, he's good. Anything else?
Yeah, any other questions for Gary?
Nope. Yeah, if you do, my phone's always on, so happy to answer them.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. It's 8:05. We could do some of the pending items, or we could and finish off and not have another meeting. It's up to the committee. I don't know how tired everybody is, or how much discussion we would have on the total budget, but we've got those 3 items that we could do, correct, Mike? Mm-hmm. So I will go by the what the committee would like to do?
Next week. I'll go along with that next week.
Okay.
That way we can cover things that we might have figured out about during the period. Yeah. Next week.
You drop something down there.
Oh, thanks.
And that way, if there's questions and it goes in to some discussion, we have plenty of time. But I just want, again, I wanted to give the committee that opportunity. So then, is there any other business for this evening? Thanks everybody then, it's 7:55. I will recess the budget committee and our next meeting is on May 11th.
Recording stopped.